I continued to scan the crowd as number 7 and the Navajo team pivoted to Jaya's right before rolling off to the left and driving for the basket. Jaya had evidently seen this action before and tipped the ball away from behind. They both scrambled after it, but an eagle forward scooped it up and fired it to the center, who tipped it into the net. The Navajo team taking the lead with only a little over a minute on the clock. Moving along the inner walkway, I circled the arena, scanning the crowd, suddenly aware that someone was looking at me. It was my assistant coach by way of Philadelphia, standing at the sidelines with her hands on her hips, looking up at me, mouthing the words, "What in the galloping fuck are you doing?" I held up a finger, hoping this would give me a few more minutes. The crowd was going ballistic. I concentrated on the area across the court behind our bench. If I were going to try something, that's where I'd be. And that's when I saw him. 2 rows down, in the lower level, at the far left, with no one sitting on either side of him. There were a few armed Yellowstone County deputies at ground level, but there was no way I could get to them without raising his suspicion. I started moving around on the walkway, figuring the best approach would be from behind, as the Lady Morningstars brought the ball into play. As the athletes moved up the court, Jaya passed the ball to Winona Sweetwater, who paused, as usual, but then, in an unprecedented move, began bringing the ball past the half-court line. Her opposite number stopped double-teaming Jaya, matched Winona up, and tried to swat at the ball, but Winona passed it off to Jaya, who quickly passed it to Rosie, who was blocked, forcing her to pass it out to Misty Two Bears. Two Bears had an open shot but paused just an instant too long, so she passed it back to Jaya, who was immediately fouled for a 1-and-1. While they grouped up, I got to the walkway and slowly moved with all the stealth I could muster. But it didn't matter. The man turned and studied me, then turned back to the game as if I weren't really there. I excused myself, stepping in front of people before finally standing beside him. "Jimmy Lane, I presume." Jaya's father ignored me and continued watching. "I believe I have something of yours." I peeled the bracelet from my wrist and held it out to him. At first he didn't move, but finally he reached up and took the bracelet, his other hand staying underneath his jacket. "Have you got that 38 on me?" He nodded, and then we both turned our attention toward the game, where Jaya was lining up for the first foul shot. "Promise me you'll do nothing until the game is over. She's worked too hard and sacrificed too much to be here." He swallowed and then responded, "What I'm going to do can wait." Jaya twirled the ball the way she always did when preparing to shoot, and the arena grew silent. The ball flew from her hands as the other players crowded the lane, but she didn't move, instead looking off to the side in a disinterested manner as the ball whisked through the net with a sound like torn fabric that I could hear all the way from the other side of the arena. The whole place erupted, and I watched as 2 of the uniformed Yellowstone County deputies were pulled from the sidelines at the opposite end of the court to disappear down the tunnel leading toward the loading dock, the storage area, and my wounded friend. "Why did you shoot Henry?" Jimmy glanced down. "I didn't mean to. I didn't know it was him. I just knew someone was chasing me, and I thought it might be one of the Brotherhood of the North."
"So Schiller was the one who got killed last night and stuffed in a barrel?"
"Yes." He looked uncomfortable for a moment. "I'm sorry about locking you in there. I guess I panicked."
"And you're the one who started the fire?" He nodded. "What about Louis?" He nodded again. "And Silent A?" He stood there watching the game, and for a moment I thought he hadn't heard me, but then he shook his head in a sad way.
"You don't get it, do you?"
He glanced at me.
"That's okay. I didn't understand at first either."
"So explain it to me."
His attention returned to the game. "It doesn't matter, man. Nothing matters. And it's all coming to an end anyway."
Jaya prepared for the second shot, reproducing the exact performance from before, the ball twirling, but this time she stopped and looked up at the time. 42 seconds. She shot, and once again it was nothing but net. The noise of the crowd was deafening. Jimmy waited till the clamor had died down at least a bit before continuing.
"Jeannie started getting those notes, but none of us paid any attention, figuring it was just the usual shit. But then she went missing. She went missing, but people started seeing her all over the place. There's this Crow rancher near where the van broke down."
"Lyndon Ironbull."
"Yeah.
him and plenty of others, including me.